Showtime.
The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Friday. Congratulations, you made it. There is more talk about Giannis and your Milwaukee Bucks and a potential separation, a potential divorce. Did you guys know yesterday? I didn't know this yesterday when we were doing the show that they were giving Peter Fagan the keys to the city.
Yeah, he got a key to the city yesterday.
I mean, I saw it on social media. I know we were there, ESPN Milwaukee. I know a lot of folks. And look, I think Peter Fagan's been fantastic for this organization. I think he's done a ton of great things. None the least of which having the relationship with Giannis. And so they give him the keys to the city yesterday. And of course, everybody wants to know, like, hey, good timing.
Giannis was there.
He was wearing a shirt. Remember that shirt that they had for Paschke back in the day? It said, I love Jim Paschke. They had the same shirt made for Peter Fagan, which is awesome. Love that. Actually, we'd like to get one of those. I don't know if they're selling them on the Bucks team website.
Can't imagine they are.
No, probably not.
No offense to Peter, but I don't know how much of the merch they would move.
Oh, you're saying it's not a in demand.
The Paschke one, maybe. But again, as much as we love Peter, he's more of a behind the scenes guy.
So yesterday, Peter Fagan was also talking to some guys on the radio. Who was it? Was it our guy?
It was Frank Izzola.
Yeah, who's been here before. Our guy Frank. Mm-hmm. We worked with him on Around the Horn. And he does that show with
Scalabrine.
What is this? What is this? Mad Libs?
Was it White Mamba?
Yeah, with the White Mamba.
Did you guys play Mad Libs when you were a kid? It had the line and then you fill it in and then you have this wacky wild story at the end. That's what I feel like is happening here. He was that one guy and you're answering and that other guy and you're answering. So we're going to start this morning by listening to Peter Fagan, who was asked about what has been going on with the Giannis situation and the Milwaukee Bucks. Take a listen.
The statute of limitations on the Giannis trade. I get it. I get the trade deadline coming up next week. But I mean, this has been the year which I could have never fathomed that every day of NBA news has been whether Giannis is going to get traded or not. You know, which is kind of, I think organizationally has been tough for us and kind of like a challenge. And I think in today's NBA, if the average fan isn't thinking that 30 teams aren't talking about the 5 or 10, you know, generational superstars and where they could possibly move and what could happen, like they've got to be out of their mind, you know, to get it. And I think like now a little bit, you know, more serious, listen, we're focused on, which we are not performing well. Like this is a beyond disappointing season to date. I think the focus is, how do we improve right away? And then how do we really think about the future? And that's no brain surgery for anybody, you know, thinking about basketball is, you know, the ownership and John Horst and everybody's trying to roadmap like what the next 3 months look like and what the next 3 years look like.
Not a lot of breaking news there, right? This has been challenging to navigate this. We are trying to win now and win in the future, right? These are all, yes, these are sort of the expectations. Anything you took from Peter Fagan yesterday?
And again, like it's tough because now he's on the outside. He's no longer the team president. It's why he was being, you know, given the key to the city yesterday, because his time as Bucks team president has come to an end, and you know they've turned the reins over elsewhere. And maybe it's just somebody who, you know, had a long day yesterday and all that, talking with those guys in the morning before he got the key to the city. It seems to me like he felt like it was a foregone conclusion that Giannis isn't going to be a Buck. That's the way it kind of sounded like to me there. And again, maybe the trade comes to fruition, maybe it doesn't, but it feels like somebody who has kind of accepted what's going on in Milwaukee and what's probably going to happen next.
Did you read it that way, Chew?
Yeah, I'm just looking at the one quote you sent me in the text chain where he said, organizationally, it's been tough for us and kind of a challenge. Sounds to me like similar to the words of the great Mark Murphy. He's a complicated fella. That's kind of what it sounded like. Sounded like, I interpreted it as maybe a little exhaustion. Did you guys read it that way?
I did not, especially after seeing a lot of the interactions between Peter and Giannis yesterday.
Is it exhausting?
I think it's exhausting trying to put a team together around Giannis, given the limitations that they have.
I also think it's exhausting when you see the results, losing to the Wizards last night, and realize that you have to be competitive to keep Giannis, and you start doing the math in your head going, well, this ain't going the way we hoped. And this seems to be leading in one direction.
Because there are still people out there, and Gabe, I think you've sort of taken the stance as well, that you could still keep Giannis by convincing him that this year is a wash, but in the offseason, you're going to go back to the drawing board, you're going to make some moves, you're going to bring some talent in, you're going to try to put a team around him that can compete for titles. And I know that that exists out there. I know that there are people who are Pollyanna-ing this thing and saying, hey, there are still ways that the Bucks could keep Giannis. But every time, to your point, Joshy, that they go out there on the floor and with this cast of characters look wholly overmatched, it feels more and more distant, doesn't it? It feels more and more difficult to convince Giannis that they're just one or two pieces away from being back in the NBA Finals.
Yeah, yeah, but it's something that you could...
Dame Lillard anchor is still there for how many more years, Gabe?
Four, after this year.
Yeah, so what are we doing?
Which is, yeah, and that exists, but yeah. I mean, again, if I'm the Bucks, I'm at least trying it, because look, I'm not interested in any of the garbage that I've seen floating out there in trade rumors. No Golden State. You cannot turn Jimmy Butler's bum ACL and terrible contract into Giannis Antetokounmpo. No, try again. You can try harder. Because I haven't seen anything out there that's worth it. And it's not like Giannis is a pending free agent. No, you still have Giannis for a year and a half. And right now, unless a team like Atlanta comes swooping in, and that's the team I've got my eye on, trying to be a little bit quiet down there in Atlanta because they don't want to, you know, make anybody mad the way the Knicks made Karl Anthony Towns mad this offseason after it leaked that they were interested in Giannis. And he hasn't been happy about that for the majority of this season. So I think Atlanta's trying to operate covertly. Unless Atlanta comes in and swoops the Bucks off their feet, none of these other teams, Miami, Golden State, New York, all of these teams that are rumored to be interested, even Minnesota, would have more to offer you if you wait until the offseason.
You don't think the Packers, good grief. You don't think that the Bucks would be interested in the picks that Golden State is sort of throwing out there? Four first-round picks, 26, 28, 30, 32?
No, it's two picks and two pick swaps. No, I'm not interested in that. You got to have more than picks. Like Desmond Bane just went for four. Minnesota, you gave up four first-rounders for Rudy Gobert. You think it's going to be cheaper to get Giannis?
So I had a question about that because we've been discussing that at home as well. Just because teams make foolish trades doesn't mean that the league should be beholden to those foolish trades, right? If somebody gives up, you know, backs up the Brinks truck and is like, I'm going to give you all these assets for this bum player. That shouldn't make the rest of the league do the same thing, right?
And it's kind of the way it works.
Well, but see, I know because you keep using that as examples of how it dictates the market for Giannis. And there's a part of me that goes, somebody must be out there going, this is crazy talk. Like four picks, four first-round picks. Well, Giannis must be worth 10 first-round picks.
Actually can't do based on the CBA and what you're limited. But so, I mean, four picks is kind of the max that you can get for someone. But it's four picks and young players. And like, and then the report comes out yesterday where teams were like, man, I can't believe it. They're asking for a lot for Giannis. Can you believe they're asking for the moon? No bleep, man. It's a top five player in his prime. A dude who's averaging 30 points on 60% shooting, which no one but him in the history of the league has ever accomplished. No bleep that's going to cost you a lot to acquire. You can't get Giannis on the cheap, and the Bucks got to make sure they don't get Giannis on the cheap. And the way to probably get, again, unless Atlanta comes flying in, the way to get some of these other teams to pay more is to get them in a bidding war this offseason when they have more access to some of those picks.
Well, let's add one more layer to this fun pie we've put together. I guess pies don't have layers. Cakes have layers. Onions have layers. All right, Shrek. Now there's this report out there that Giannis is going to have a say in the teams that he, like, when we, remember the other day when we were stacking this stuff and we were saying why this whole thing is so complicated and why it's probably frustrating Giannis and frustrating all the people involved? Let's add one more layer to it, because the list of teams who can actually trade for Giannis, we have said this over and over again, is short, because you can't put together a package of assets that equals Giannis Antetokounmpo. But now Giannis is also going to have a say. Doesn't that also limit the number of teams that you can work with? How in the world, Gabe and Chu, can the Bucks actually give Giannis a say if they're trying to do right by the future of the franchise?
It's not so much giving Giannis a say. It's like, if you trade Giannis, whether it's at the deadline or whether it's this offseason, the team that trades for Giannis is going to want to sign him to an extension. Like, a lot of it's predicated on, hey, we're giving up all of these assets because we think we're going to have Giannis for more than just the, you know, remainder of 2026 and then the 2026-27 season. They want to sign him to an extension. And if they go to Giannis and go, hey, you want to sign an extension? And he goes, no. Then they're not going to want to trade for him and give up all of the assets that I was just talking about. So that's where Giannis ends up having a say, is if he's not willing to sign an extension, like, so they can't just send him to NBA Siberia, right? Like, they can't just send him to Utah and get a bunch of return for that, because he wouldn't sign an extension with the Jazz.
What's prime in the NBA? What are your years where you're...
I mean, again, for a high upper echelon player like this,
yeah,
until he's 35, probably. Even then, like, you're seeing guys like KD operate at a high level at past that age.
What was Rodgers?
I mean, Rodgers...
Past prime? How far 40? Past prime?
Rodgers is 41, maybe?
No. I'm saying when they traded him to the Jets.
Oh.
He was past prime, right?
Just barely. Because he had just won his fourth MVP the year before. Yeah.
I'm just saying, a depressed asset. I mean, the guy has got calf issues, which, you know, I'm sure they're going to want to kick the tires on. It's the second time this season. We know what that could potentially lead to. I'm just wondering if they're unrealistic in what they're asking. Because there was the one report that, you know, and they should have asked for the moon. Whether they're going to get the moon, I don't know. But I don't want to deal with this crap year in and year out. It's to me, it's moving in the Rodgers direction. Look, you don't want to be here, then move on.
But the Bucks can't, like, just move him, Joe.
I understand
him.
That.
Like, there has to be, like, you, if you're going to move him, you got to get something for him.
But this
you can't
is
just
drama.
Give him away for.
Is this drama, or am I missing something?
At this point, like, we're just now in the team. The Bucks are open for business in their listening phase. Like, yeah, it takes time. Like, do I think he's getting traded today? I do not. Because teams aren't serious about the offers that they're putting out there.
Yeah, I'm almost leaning with you, Gabe, that this will happen in the offseason instead of the trade.
And again, if I'm the Bucks, because again, the road is going to take you there regardless. Like, I think Giannis is shut down for the season. Like, it doesn't, even if he was staying in Milwaukee, it doesn't make sense for him to play out those last handful of games. Just doesn't. So I think you shut down Giannis for the season, you move him this offseason, or if you can convince him to stay, you can convince him to stay. But the road to that decision is all the same. You're hoping to get a top pick regardless.
Peter Fagan says it's been tough on the organization, all of this will he or won't he, should he or shouldn't he with Giannis Antetokounmpo over the last few years. And when you hear the word tough, I wonder what that actually means behind closed doors. Does that mean it's creating conflict? Does that mean there's a contentiousness? There was a report out there, and look, I've read so much stuff, and I'm sure y'all are the same out there, on this Giannis situation, CBS Sports, ESPN, The Athletic, all of these things. I can never remember where the nuggets come from, but there was a nugget in one of the things. Maybe it was Sam over The Athletic, who talked about how this whole thing did start to affect the locker room. That on a nightly basis, guys were like, is he going to be here? Is he not going to be here? Like, and there's a tension that does start to affect. So with everything going on, right, you're talking about how the Bucks are already trying to overcome whatever talent disparity you think they may have with this team that's on the floor night in and night out. Now they're also dealing with the angst of this entire situation. So when he says tough, Gabe, what level do you think that has affected?
It's probably like...
It's a little bit, but I think you can also tell, Chew, just quickly... Like, Bobby Portis, at the beginning of the season, when Bobby would go on a podcast or a national show, clearly they're going to ask about Giannis. And his was, nope, he's here. We find it funny, man. Like, he was on one, like, not that long ago, where he was just basically saying, I can't worry about that. Just got to worry about what we're doing every night, right? And so there was a bit of a tone change from even somebody like Bobby Portis when asked about that recently.
It's probably like having a girlfriend that's a beloche, you know?
Explain.
Everything's a flipping grind. You know,
you didn't open the door for me. Where's my flowers? These aren't the flowers I wanted. Why is the house so dirty?
No one likes a grind.
I wanted to jump in there and save him, but I was like, why?
I'm just saying.
Let him spin. Huh? But the problem with that analogy, Chu, is I don't think that it is Giannis specific. I don't necessarily think that this is exclusive to Giannis, that Giannis is the beloche in this analogy. I think it's all circumstances. I think. Do I think that he wants to be the good guy? Do I think he is nervous or scared or whatever word you want to put on it about saying that he wants out because he's concerned of how the fans would look at that request? I do. But I also think that, like, he's trying to do the best he can to do right by Milwaukee. Because I do still think that that loyalty streak is strong. And I do still think he recognizes that the organization took a chance on him, gave him the opportunity to elevate to this incredible level that he is on now. I think he recognizes all of those things. But there is a part of me that at times has felt like Giannis is so nervous about being labeled the bad guy, sometimes it affects his judgment on how he navigates things. You know, we talked about it before. Did Giannis play a role in Adrian Griffin and then moving on from him? They probably consulted him at the very least. Hey, what would you think about this move if we chose to go? Hey, we're thinking about bringing Doc Rivers in. What would you think of this move? Right? They've handed Giannis a lot of power. And the problem with the power they've handed him, guys, is I don't think that you can put that genie back in the bottle.
I think that's
part of the beloche thing that you... Is that a real word, by the way? Beloche?
I don't even really know what it means.
You know what it means.
But
you know the context he's trying to use it in.
The Bucks have done everything for this guy. Everything.
Yeah.
Tell me it's one thing they didn't do for the guy.
No, they have tried to do everything that they can in their power.
Yes. And he still acts like a beloche. A nice beloche, but a beloche is a beloche. I'm sorry. You don't want to be here? Don't let the door hit you in the ass. That's how I look at it. And I'm really trending towards the Rodgers thing because I was sick of his crap. Go.
But again, the other thing is, so let's just say that let's just hypothetically say that Giannis goes to the front office and says, guys, I want to move. Like, I've come to the end of my time. I've given you 12 years. Is it 12 or 13? 12 years? 13 years? Either way. Dozen or a baker's dozen. I've given you all this time. I want to move on.
That's fine.
Where? Like, this is when Fagan talks about it being tough on the organization, this is what I think he means. Like, you're reading the Choose Your Own Adventure book, and at the end of every one, you die. That's what it feels like right now. What options do the Bucks actually have if Giannis were to say, I actually do want to be traded? Where are they dealing him to that they are going to get back what they are giving?
Oh, even if you wait this offseason, you're not getting fair return for Giannis. You're just not. You trade a player of Giannis's caliber and stature, you're not getting fair return.
Doesn't
you're just
that
not.
Reality constitute tough on the organization, right? When I think about the things that Peter Fagan is talking about, I think they're looking at one of those big Kerry Matheson boards with the string and the pictures, and every situation is less than ideal. How do they win?
Do you think his teammates like him?
Yes.
I do.
Mm-hmm. No. No. The way he calls his guys out, are you kidding? Let me tell you what. If Favre called me out like that to the paper, I would have probably grabbed them by the neck.
But I actually think he only did it that one time. Like, I haven't heard it being a regular thing of Giannis.
I've read that quote, and I'm like,
what if it's the truth, though, Chu? Because you once said...
Still gave, there's a code. There is a code, okay?
But what if you've tried everything else?
You still don't do it.
Hey,
not
play harder.
In public.
Yeah, but if you're not playing hard, if you're not playing hard, play harder.
You, most guys I played with, if someone did that to them, in the paper or in the press, there would be a big problem. You want to lead in the locker room. Don't do it in the media.
I mean, to be fair to Giannis, it's like he's Brett Favre and everyone around him is South Dakota State recruits. Like, in terms of accomplishments and abilities and gravity they hold. There's like severe levels.
I mean, I'm just telling you, I would have a serious problem with it.
I'm sure someone on the team does. I'm sure there's a handful, maybe even.
Yeah. Guys are being selfish, trying to look for their own shots instead of looking for the right shot for the team. You know?
Hey, doesn't name names.
That can't, you know? It's just, I would have a problem with it. I'd have a problem if a coach did it. It's just not the way, maybe that's the way they do it today, but.
I mean, even if it's the truth, don't you want the truth out there?
I don't want it in the media.
I mean, you defended Bob McGinn when he called out Frank. Because it was
well,
the
Frank
truth.
Had that coming.
I will say this. On the list of things that are problematic in this situation, Giannis calling out the teammates recently while they are, you know, they can't string together back-to-back wins to save their life is low on my list. There's a bunch of other things that I think have been, and when I say problematic, that probably sounds way too harsh. I'm talking about when you look at the whole situation and you're trying to understand why Peter Fagan says it's been tough on the organization. I feel like that's pretty far down on the hierarchy. It's all of the other things, you know, that we have detailed, it feels like, ad nausea over the last few years.
I think there's a double standard. If Rodgers did this and has done it, he gets blasted for it. Blasted. And we blasted him on these airwaves, calling McCarthy out for the Buffalo game. Come on. This guy's not Teflon. Sorry.
800-990-3776. We did put a poll on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube stream. Remember, you can always stream the show, watch the show, weigh in with the show. Does it feel like an inevitability that Giannis will be traded? Yes or no? Early returns, it's only been up there for 5 minutes, but 89% of people are saying it feels like an inevitability that Giannis will be traded. We got to get to Jason Wilde. He's coming up next. Sounds like the Packers have lost another coach. We'll dive into that with Jason Wilde right after this.
Ready, down, hut.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is brought to you by Exterior Pros. Ready to tackle your home improvement project? Exterior Pros and Baths is giving $3,000 off roofing, siding, windows, or bath remodels this month. Visit extpros.com.
Jason on deadline today, so we're going to move through this pretty quickly. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing today?
Good, everybody. How are you?
Good. How should Packers fans feel about the Sean Mannion to the Philadelphia Eagles move?
Yeah, based on the opinion of his former boss, Matt LaFleur, and others in the league, he's going to be a head coach someday. So that means he's a pretty good coach in their opinion, which means it sucks that he no longer works for your team. But, you know, we talk about loyalty. I certainly had Packers fans in my mentions who, well, just get rid of the current offensive coordinator and give the job to Mannion so he doesn't leave. That is not what occurred. So we'll see what happens moving forward.
Jason, how much say will LaFleur have in hiring of the defensive coaches? Did he have any under Hafley, or was Hafley pretty much built his own staff?
Yeah, I mean, I think, and this is a great question, which I've gotten a few times, and this is an educated guess because I've never asked LaFleur specifically about it. But I think, by and large, he gives the defensive coordinator, I don't want to say carte blanche, but certainly a lot of autonomy on it. But I from what I can tell, Jonathan Gannon doesn't have any history with Bobby Babich. And Matt LaFleur obviously interviewed him for the defensive coordinator job when it went to Hafley. So clearly Matt LaFleur liked what he heard in that interview. And he's got coordinator experience now for the last 2 years with the Bills. So I don't know if LaFleur says, hey, this guy's going to be our linebackers coach, or, hey, I would like you to, you know, I really like this guy. I think he should be the guy, but what do you think? You know, or he's the defensive passing game coordinator. I keep forgetting that he was the linebackers coach in Buffalo, but he will be the defensive passing game coordinator in Green Bay. But then you look at a guy like the linebackers coach, who is a Wisconsin guy, grew up in Oconomowoc, went to UW La Crosse, spent a year at Madison, and he worked for Gannon in Arizona for 2 years. So clearly that is a Gannon hire. So I would say it's probably a collaboration. Mm-hmm. And I'm guessing that if Gannon said, yeah, I don't like that Bobby Babich guy. He, you know, smokes in the meeting room or something. Matt LaFleur would have said, well, that's okay.
Can you imagine
then
a coach
we can
just
go with somebody else.
Lighten up grits chew in the middle of a meeting?
Well, guys used to do
it. Well, I'm guessing that there was a lot of that back in the
day.
Well,
in the 90s, sure,
playing, right?
But like...
We had guys that come back from practice that would be lighting up heaters. I'd be like, what?
Who?
And Frank,
Who smoked on your team?
Joe Garten. That might have been a little bit before your time, Jason.
Yes, I did.
But Frank,
I did not cover him.
Frank was when he was in Cleveland, and he was there for the drive and/or what's the other one, Jason?
The fumble.
He said, "Big Daddy Carl Harrison at halftime would be lighting up heaters in the locker room." Seriously, They used to have beer in the locker room after games until they traded for someone that came to town, and that was over.
Give us your red, white, Jason.
Because he'd have his brothers and stuff come into the locker room and sit there because it was free and have all his Mississippi buddies sucking down suds.
I thought it was Reggie who said that. So it was because his brothers were drinking it all.
That was pre-Reggie. This was like 92, 93.
Unbelievable.
When Brett looked like a linebacker. Quarterback.
Jason, should I be concerned about recovery time for Zach Tom? Because patellar tendon tears seem to be dicey. And they don't... So were we concerned about his recovery and his timetable, or do you think it wasn't a particularly serious partial tear?
Well, I mean, I guess a partial tear is better than a full tear, but a tear is a tear is a tear, right? It's a problem no matter what. And he said he was going to have the surgery, and he said that it was going to be a 6-month recovery.
Okay,
but that's what it's supposed to be. So. I still think it's a concern. Like, that's not an MCL, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's concerning. I'll give him credit. Well, they did a great job of playing it off as if he might play, which clearly was never really the case. I mean, they did that blood spinning business, hoping that would help, but I don't think it helps with a torn patellar tendon.
The reason why I was asking, Jason, because we were having the conversation with you yesterday, and we brought up Sean Ryan's name, and... If they're unsure about the recovery timetable of Zach Tom and he has to miss time at the beginning of the season and you're going to have a new left tackle, are you really going to want to have potentially three different starters out there week one if you don't re-sign Sean Ryan to be your center?
Could be a whole new... I mean, again, I'm not saying this because I'm trying to run Aaron Banks out of town, but the way his contract is structured... It's not a slam dunk that he is back either, right? I mean, they could say, oh, man, we've paid this guy a lot of money up front, and then we're not going to, you know, fool me once kind of a thing. Now, I thought he played better as he got healthier, but he's another one of those guys that even though he's not a young guy. Like, he's on a second contract, not a third contract, but I think he's 28.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not, you know, only in Green Bay would that be considered old-ish. But, like, I don't know if it's a foregone conclusion that he's back either. But at some point, you got to say, well, we got to keep somebody, right? Like, you can't – you got to start a whole new starting five. Like, you're a hockey team sending out line changes. Like, I don't know what their plan is there, but Sean Ryan did not sound like someone who expects to be back. Let me just put it that way.
And I would have been there too, Jason, had he not played better than Elton did at center. And I guess I'm at a point, especially with Aaron Banks, like with left tackle, and we had that discussion yesterday, there's clearly a plan, right? There's clearly a plan that what they're going to do at left tackle. But if they need a
might
new
not be a good plan.
But it's a plan.
But like, it's a plan.
Yeah, but Jordan Morgan starting at left tackle is clearly the plan. They drafted him. He's a high draft pick. That's what they're going to do. Is Lasita Smith, do they feel really good about him playing left guard and or center? I guess that's where I start running into these issues of, okay, yeah, Aaron Banks probably not worth the contract he's getting paid, but by cutting him, you don't have a replacement sitting for him on the roster. And you already have other holes you need to fill, and you're up against the cap, and you don't have a first-round pick. And it seems like if you were to move on from Aaron Banks, you would be unnecessarily digging yourself a deeper hole on the roster.
Yeah, I mean, do you think – let me ask you this. Do you think – because the concern in your voice is palpable, Gabe.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think if they were in a different place with their other offensive line spots, let's say – Sean Ryan and Rasheed Walker were in the 2023 draft class,
mm-hmm.
not 2022, and we're going into the last year of their contracts this coming season. Do you think they would move on from Aaron Banks?
I think it would be more likely, yes.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. I would also agree that so he probably at some level, maybe very little, maybe more than a little, benefits from the other issues they have on their line.
Correct.
But you're right. Like it's incredible. And again, I'm not saying Goody sucks as a GM. I'm not. Because every time I criticize him, people go, oh, Wilde hates Goody. It's not true. But he seems to escape a lot of criticism a lot. And I'm looking at where they are. That was in terms of building, you know, in terms of their rebuilding phase, that 2022 draft, got a lot of good to goodish players that played a hell of a lot of football for them.
Mm-hmm.
But now they're in a position where, like, we haven't even talked about Kingsley and Igbaré, right? Mm-hmm. Who's part of that class too, who played better than Rashawn Gary, certainly mm-hmm. played harder. And if he's gone, that's another player from that class. So this is going to be a fascinating offseason. But Gabe, to your point, you know, so You're going to move on from Walker. You move on from Sean Ryan. You're moving on from Elton Jenkins.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say, for argument's sake, you do move on from Aaron Banks. And your right tackle is not going to be ready until training camp because they're going to take it slow with him. They're not going to throw him out there in a June OTA for no reason, right? So basically, you're going to go through your offseason program potentially with five offensive linemen from the previous season that are either not on the team or not taking part.
And that's the thing. That's the other thing, Jason. It's not just the starters. It's also the depth along the offensive line. Like, you probably still need to draft an offensive lineman in there with some depth.
More than one. Yeah, more than one. But, hey, Donovan Jennings and Jacob Monk, I mean, what more could you guys want?
And if you want more information on that, the Acme Packing Company put out an article, Packers Cap Casualties, Roster Option Bonus Dates That Matter in 2026. Aaron Banks is on that list, reminding us that on the third day of the new league year, March 13th, Aaron Banks is due for a $9.5 million roster bonus. If they decide to move on from him with a release, it would be obviously before then. Jason, good stuff from you. I wanted to get what your plan would be for replacing Sean Mannion. We got to let you go, so make sure that you touch on that on Wilde and Tausch today.
I will be happy to do that. And the Aaron Banks thing, you know, look, if they're going to keep him, they're going to convert that to a signing bonus so they can spread out the charge. That's what they usually do with those third day of the league year bonuses. But again, Gabe's right. I'm a little nervous if I'm a Packers fan about what the offensive line is going to look like next year. All right, guys, take care. Be good.
Good stuff, guys. Appreciate the perspective. Gabe?
Dinner just got twice as easy. Going on right now. Pick and save in Metro Market stores. Connie's Frozen Pizza. Buy one, get one free. That's right. Connie's Frozen Pizza. Buy one, get one free. Get that pizzeria quality without the pizzeria prices. Grab your favorites. Turn the kitchen into a pizzeria. And look, there are a lot of things going on. Maybe you're just kicking back and relaxing this weekend. Happens to be a pretty big game coming up next weekend. You're going to want to load up on this deal because right now at Pick and Save in Metro Market, Connie's Frozen Pizza is buy one, get one free. Hurry. The sale ends February 3rd.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Unbelievable that they ran all over this vaunted defense.
Why
this elite defense.
Kool-Aid?
What Kool-Aid?
Why? It was poop Kool-Aid. And we gobbled it down.
On 94.5 ESPN.
The biggest football game of the year is happening February 8th. Where are you going to be watching the game? If you want an unforgettable experience, might I suggest the Pottawatomie Casino Hotel, Milwaukee. That's right. We'll be there. You can be at 1100 Bar and Lounge. You could be at Rock and Brews. You could be at Small Bar. Or you can get a ticket to the Yuengling tailgate party at the Annex. It's right next to Pottawatomie Sportsbook. And you guys, you can also reserve premier seating inside the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Tickets and reservations are available now. Food and drink specials, including a $20 Yuengling pitcher and $10 off 100-ounce beer tube, also available. Go to the website, Pottawatomie Sportsbook's website. I believe that's Pottawatomie.com now for all the information on the big game, February 8th. I wanted to get into this with Jason Wilde. Fortunately for us, Jason Wilde wrote an article on this. Packers have lost their quarterback's coach. Who could replace him? Sean Mannion going to the Eagles. I don't love that it is an NFC team. And I also don't love that the way that the offense is structured for the Green Bay Packers didn't really allow for the Packers to keep Sean Mannion. As long as Matt LaFleur is calling plays, that offensive coordinator role is not going to be as attractive. Is it still one of 32? Yes. It's not going to be as attractive as the opportunity for a young offensive mind to call the plays like Sean Mannion will be able to do in Philadelphia. So I guess, what now? Gabe, what would you do if you were the Green Bay Packers trying to fill the role that Sean Mannion has vacated?
I mean, I would love if LaFleur had another young quarterback that he's worked with in the past who thought would be a good coach and be able to bring him in. But the problem is, with the way they did with Mannion, he served 1 year under Tom Clements, and then took over as that quarterback coach. What seems the most likely to me, Luke Getsy sitting right there. He's been a quarterback's coach for Matt LaFleur in Green Bay before. Luke Getsy, I'm guessing, is the one who ends up getting that job. But I'd love it if there was some other young up-and-comer that they could just pluck and put in that position. But that's a really important one. Chewy, I've heard you talk about it a bunch, about how important, and you guys obviously had some really good quarterback's coaches back in the 90s for Brett. So to me, it's also maybe too important to take a flyer, especially it feels like we're in that really pivotal year where Jordan could really take off. And it seems like you want to have somebody who can stabilize that position. I think that's what Luke Getsy can do.
Could Steno be the best, though, that we could get for a non-calling offensive coordinator? Because he has received interest to call plays at certain places. So are we being too critical? Are we looking for a scapegoat?
I feel the way we've talked about Steno is we're not quite sure what he does, right? It's hard to pinpoint where exactly he falls, because he doesn't call the plays. So unless you're in those meetings, it's hard to know what he does. And I feel like we've operated as if, okay, if there's going to be a scapegoat, it seems like it's going to be Steno, because people from inside the building are just rushing to tell media people how much Rich Bisaccia is respected. And you don't get the same level of support for Steno.
God, I don't care about respected. Give me an a-hole that's a hell of a coach. You know what I mean? I mean, I could name a bunch of coaches that were respected and loved in the building, but I didn't think they were very good coaches. And they didn't bring a lot to the table. I'm not going to name names, but...
But I think Bisaccia is respected.
Give him time, and he will.
Again, I'm going to have to defend Bisaccia here, but I feel like Bisaccia is respected across the league, too, because he has the reputation of being a very good coach.
Let me throw a couple more wrinkles in here as we discuss Luke Getsy potentially taking over for Sean Mannion, who is headed to the Philadelphia Eagles. One is, because he spent time with Mike McCarthy, his name is being mentioned with Mike McCarthy, and maybe Mike McCarthy brings him over there. Was that for the OC as well, or was that for the quarterback's position, the quarterback's coach?
Probably be the quarterback's. I think he's going to bring in Scott Tolzien, I think, to be the OC.
Really?
So we got Green Bay South in Miami, and now we got Green Bay East in Philadelphia, apparently. I'm sorry, in Pittsburgh. Talking about Philadelphia for Luke Getsy, or for Sean Mannion. Good grief. It's a lot of names. It's a lot of teams, and I am just down spiraling over
so
here.
So he is just interviewing. They have not hired, just interviewing Scott Tolzien right now for the OC job.
McCarthy didn't call plays in Dallas?
He did.
He did call plays.
Mm-hmm. He did, he didn't, and then he did again.
Okay. So my guess is he will.
My guess is he's going to call plays.
Yeah.
I think his preference is to call plays.
Let me throw one other thing out there for you, because when you talk about Luke Getsy, of course, a lot of people around the league know him from when he was fired as the offensive coordinator for the Raiders. Now, it is the Raiders, and there's a part of me that thinks, like, you know, they still haven't had any level of success, so maybe it's more of an institutional thing than an individual thing. Is there any concern of yours, Chu, that Getsy struggled again?
Well, he got fired from the Bears, too, Jen.
Yeah, he was the OC for the Bears first.
He was fired from the Bears and then fired from the Raiders, so that's two strikes. Quarterback coach. See, how it's ranked, obviously the coordinator is one. O-line coach is two. When it comes to importance, quarterback's coach three. So it's an important position.
Where's tight ends coach?
Bottom of the barrel.
Well, so it goes, wait, I'll give below you the thing. Receiver coach? But you guys have so much to do. You got to be a lineman. You got to be a receiver. It's below the receiver's coach.
Toughest job after the quarterback, haven't we been told that?
That's
gang?
What yeah. I've heard.
But I typically had two coaches. I had half of the O-line because we would spend half of our day with the O-line, obviously, for blocking and then, you know, the passing game. So you're getting instruction from the O-line coach as well, but the structure is obviously coordinator, O-line coach, quarterback's coach, receiver's coach, running back, tight end. Did I get them all?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
As Jason details in his article, Chu, Nathaniel Hackett might have been another option to replace Gannon, but as we saw, he is joining Jeff Hafley's staff in Miami as well, so we do have a lot of people who are following the Pied Piper down to Miami. I guess we all know how important Jordan Love's continued progression, right? Continued evolution is to the success of this team. My biggest concern is that you bring a guy in who isn't able to capitalize and build on what Mannion did during his time with Jordan.
And that's why I think, you know, again, Luke Getsy, who has had this job before, who Aaron Rodgers loved, by the way. Like Aaron Rodgers sang the praises of Luke Getsy as a quarterback's coach.
Which also is a little more smoke for the Luke Getsy to Pittsburgh
sure.
storyline that we're seeing develop.
But if you lock him in, and again, if McCarthy interviews and hires him as the OC, only so much you can do, right? But if it's going to be a quarterback's coach thing, like I think you can lock up Luke Getsy to the quarterback's coach and not have to worry about him going elsewhere. So I think that seems to me the most obvious one, unless, again, LaFleur's got a lot of connections around the league, unless he's got something up his sleeve where he thinks he's got somebody who can come in and potentially take over and help Jordan continue to progress.
As whatever position, as they move along throughout their career, and Jordan's going into what, year 7 or year 8,
mm-hmm.
he doesn't need as much from a technical standpoint. All it is, because this is how it happened with Brett, you pivot from that because the player figures it out. You know, he knows his footwork and things like that. So then it's just flooding him with information. You know, you try to get him as much information and as comfortable as you can. It's not so much, you see this little hitch here, you got to take a little 3 inches more. It's not more technical stuff. It's just like game planning and make sure he is 100% confident going into whoever you're playing. That's why, because I had Mike Sherman going, I think, into my 6th year. And I didn't need him so much from steps in blocking and hand placement and things like that, or route running. I just needed information, and that's kind of what he did, is just flood me with stuff, and then I would kick out of my brain whatever I didn't think was necessary.
It is crazy to me, though, that this is really the only name that has emerged. Again, some of it is that the Packers are notoriously tight-lipped, but it does feel like Luke Getsy is the only name that we have seen, and I know it's been recent because Sean Mannion was just gobbled up yesterday. But I would like to see a few more names thrown out there before we just hand the keys over to Luke Getsy again. Maybe he will have great success. Maybe he has a great relationship with Jordan Love. Maybe he will be the next guy to get him to that elite level in the league. But I'd like to see a few more names thrown out there for the quarterback's coach, because we know how important Jordan Love's success is to the overall success of the team. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Still a lot of stuff to get to this morning, but I want to tell you guys about my friends over at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. Have you guys been to the restaurant on the second floor, the Studio Kitchen and Cocktails? It's Milwaukee's destination for bold flavors, fresh sushi, seasonal entrees, and cocktails crafted with care. Go for breakfast, go for lunch, go for dinner, go for drinks. It's the perfect place to gather and celebrate and connect. Be boldly social. The Studio Kitchen and Cocktails is now on the second floor at St. Kate the Arts Hotel.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I'm going to go with the corn dog, the old corn dog, the corn dog for
the birthday. Pierogies and borscht all day long.
That's just crazy. Nobody likes borscht, let alone
God,
on their
it's
birthday.
So good. It's the only thing that makes my mouth water, other than my wife.
On 94.5 ESPN.
You know what I always say, happy wife, happy life, and a lot of times that starts with a visit to my guy, the Dancing Machino at the Jewelry Center. Earrings, custom jewelry, and repair services. The Jewelry Center does it all. And when it comes to top-of-the-line engagement rings, they're second to none. When the day comes for my boys to take that next step in their lives, I know exactly where they're going, to the Jewelry Center. Great deals and selections on both lab-grown and naturally mined diamonds, plus specialists who make the process easy and fun. Just ask Gabe. Stop into one of their four locations, Brookfield, Greenfield, Burlington, and now Mequon, or shop the full inventory online at shoptjc.com.
We have a developing situation here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Oh, boy. It scares me.
It should.
It scares me.
It's about you.
No, it's not.
Joshy. What have you been witnessing for the last few months?
Since, I want to say, about October, every time Mark Matura stands
Mark
up.
Mark Matura. That's amazing.
I've been Matura. Called that before.
No, you haven't. You're the least yes, mature I have. Person I know. Yeah.
Mark Matura stands up when we go to break. I turn his mic off because he always slams down his headset while people are doing reads. And then I turn it into Q. And when he stands up, he sings, "Oh ho, the mistletoe," every single blessed day, multiple times a day.
Exactly. It's a blessed, it is a very blessed day. Our guy's just happy and he's just singing. He's singing his little heart out.
What gives, dude? It's almost February.
I know, but my neighbors still have their Christmas tree up.
Can you see their Christmas tree when you stand up?
No, but when I go outside, I can.
Is that what's prompting the Christmas song?
I think so, because that's the first thing I saw when I walked out this morning.
Are you sure it's just not you grunting as you get up? You go, ugh, and you say, oh, I know this little beat. Oh, oh, the mistletoe.
Oh, oh, the mistletoe.
Oh, oh, the mistletoe.
I'm also a grunter, Josh. You notice that?
Yeah. Believe
but
me,
I don't know that I'm a grunter. I can hear you. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm a big talk to myself kind of guy, which I think's healthy.
Talk to yourself, talk to the plants, things of that nature.
The only thing you do more consistently than sing mistletoe, which Holly Jolly Christmas is the song he's singing. The only thing you do more consistent is belch directly into the mic while it's in cue. It's nonstop. I hear you burp more than I hear myself burp. Yeah.
But the tough thing is, and sometimes I yell in the house, but because Ange has been back, and she's back now, but I forget that she's here because she was gone for 4 days. And wait. I like to scream and yell. It's just good to
wait, get wait, 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 all wait, wait. That what audio. Are you yelling about by yourself? Because, look, I will... The talking to yourself thing, I get. That makes sense to me. Talking to the plants. I can get behind you there. Just yelling in the house?
Yeah, it's like, you know, wrong... Anchorman?
Oh!
Oh! Oh! It's good to get your pipes going. Get the blood going, right?
The arsonist had oddly shaped feet.
You guys talk to yourself. I know you do.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Again, I was that's what I was just saying. I was behind you there. Like, but when I'm in the house by myself, I don't just start yelling.
Can't say I've ever done that.
Yell?
So I want to get to the bottom of this. Chewy, did you know that you were doing this on a consistent basis? Did you know that on a daily or segment basis?
Yeah, I mean, it happens 3-4 times a day.
Yeah, no, it does. No, I have no idea. But now that you say it, yeah, I guess I do. I'm trying to think what else.
He sings. Again, he'll do that even when he's back here. We'll have the meeting upstairs. He'll stand up. He'll have time to make the donuts, or he'll make a noise that, again, that triggers a song in his head. He starts singing.
How long after Christmas does it become an issue that you've had an earworm that long?
No, like, he's going to do this in July, Josh.
Something stuck in your head for that long, to me, would be problematic.
I thought we established that it was the Christmas tree that was prompting the song. No?
No. No. It's him literally standing up and going, oh.
That was just him making excuses.
The mistletoe. Yeah. Like, he will. Yeah. I promise you, he will do this in July. I promise you. He will do the same thing. He is going to stand up. He is going to make a noise that is going to trigger holly jolly Christmas in his head.
Here's what we're
going to
do. Joshy, we're going to throw a tally board up there on your bulletin board, okay? And every time Chewy does it, you just put a hash mark right on the thing. And then by the time he gets back here, let's see what that number is at, okay?
Well, sometimes I forget because I'll have a conversation on the phone. Sometimes not real pleasant. And I'm like, oh, it's right next to my headset. I'm wondering if Joshy was listening because he saw me on the stream laughing yesterday, Josh.
Yeah.
And you're like, what were you laughing at?
To be fair to you, if I heard you having a serious conversation, I'd probably turn it off. Just because that's not in my business.
Really?
Yeah.
I think most people would listen.
Joshy would not. Joshy's very respectful. Like, I've got his back on this one.
Yeah, I'm not very interested in like your inter-family or inter-life like things going on.
But it's
not
funny.
In my business. Well, yeah, oftentimes I'm sure I would come away laughing more than based on the way you and Angie and the things you've told us. But, you know, if you're like having serious stuff with your kids going on or family members, that's none of my. I'm not interested
at
all.
I don't ever have serious things. Serious things going on, then I don't handle them. You know?
So you're saying I have
truer
the green
words
light.
Never spoken, by the way. Yeah.
Everyone around him knows, okay, let's not go to Chew.
If there are serious things going on, I don't handle them. No, you don't say.
Ho, ho, the mistletoe.
All right, we'll be right back after this.